Grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Kids grow up so fast, don't they? One day they're being born and crying as you try to put them to sleep, and the next, literally, they are 40 days old and being presented to God. And then only a week later, they're 12 years old, going to learn and grow to become a full member of God's people. Or maybe that's just Jesus. After all, it's only 9 days ago for Christmas Eve, 8 days for Christmas Day, that we celebrated Christmas. And here we are with Jesus in the temple at 12 years old. Funny enough, the Magi actually aren't going to arrive until Thursday for Epiphany. And so I guess we're jumping back in time for that, but that's beside the point. But yeah, there for now, we have Luke 2, verses 40 to 52 to study and consider. Now, there are a lot of aspects of this story that we can talk about, but the one that stuck out to me the most this time around is just how important the temple is to Luke's gospel. If you look back at Luke chapters 1 and 2, you'll see no less than 3 different events happening at the temple. First, John's birth is announced there to Zechariah. Then Jesus is presented and blessed by Simeon there right before today's gospel reading. And then we come to this particular Passover, which Jesus is finally old enough to attend with his parents. Now, Passover is one of the 3 holidays in the Jewish calendar when the Jewish people are all together in one place in Jerusalem at the temple. The other two being Pentecost, the festival of first fruits, which typically takes place in May or maybe into June, and then Sukkoth, which is the festival of booths, remembering how the people lived in booths or tents in the wilderness for 40 years during the Exodus. And the Passover remembers the beginning of that journey when God freed the people of Israel from their slavery in Egypt and brought them out to lead them to the promised land. And so, of course, being an upright Jewish man, as we know he is from Matthew chapter 1, Joseph brought his wife to Jerusalem for the festival every year. That is the place of a father. It is the father's responsibility to see to it that his children and his household are brought up in the faith. And before the age of 12, of course, Jesus isn't old enough to be considered an adult, so he is not expected to go. He's not required to go. He would stay behind in Nazareth. But as soon as Jesus is old enough to attend with his parents, Joseph brings Jesus with him to the festival. And so, of course, at the festival, they have the sacrifices, they have the celebration. Coming to worship is extremely important, especially at the special times like Passover or Easter or Christmas. It is important to gather together as God's people to worship. And it is also the responsibility of parents to inculcate that or bring their kids up to recognize that and to understand that. But it is also important to be coming to worship the rest of the time as well. And so Mary and Joseph are in Jerusalem for the festival, and then they leave, assuming that Jesus is in the group with them. Passover lasts about 7 days, And so at the end of the 7 days, they leave to go back home to Nazareth, which would have been a 2 or 3 day walk for them from Jerusalem all the way back up to Galilee. And this is when things take a bit of a turn. If you, unlike me, grew up near a lot of extended family, you can probably forgive the holy parents for what comes next when they wind up going an entire day's journey and they don't realize that Jesus isn't there. They were part of a caravan with all of their friends and relatives and neighbors who had come from Nazareth to the festival. And so they are all traveling back together. And of course, the men and women would travel separately. And so they didn't realize that Jesus wasn't there. Mary probably assumed that Jesus was off playing with his cousins. Maybe John the Baptist was there. Joseph almost certainly figured that his sister-in-law must be watching all of the kids. It takes until that night when they are bedding down before they realize that they lost their preteen Messiah. Oops. Well, we can talk at length about the next 3 days of Mary and Joseph searching Jerusalem to find Jesus, but I don't really want to belabor the point this time. In the end, they, of course, find Jesus sitting in the temple, but what is he doing there? When we look at our reading, it says that he is sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. That doesn't sound all that strange to us today. Normally, kids are supposed to be asking questions and listening to their teachers. That's the most fun part of teaching with little kids or of children's messages, is listening to the questions and trying to answer them, because kids can ask some crazy things if you give them the time. However, that is not what Jesus was doing here. The way that teaching works in this time, which we kind of see a little bit in the way that we do catechesis or confirmation class, is, or if you look through Luther's Small Catechism, the way that teaching works is that the teacher is the one who asks the questions of the students, not the other way around. So in this scenario, Jesus is not the learner. The preteen Messiah here is taking the teachers to school. Hence, everyone is so amazed by Jesus' knowledge and wisdom and understanding. Even at a young age, Jesus, already sitting in the temple, is teaching the teachers with more authority than those teachers can claim to have. And I suppose it shouldn't really surprise us that things would go this way. After all, this is God in the flesh sitting here teaching them about the word which he inspired the prophets to write. The God who inspired those prophetic writings, of course, knows those prophetic writings better than anyone can claim to. This is the God who created heaven and earth come down in human flesh to be part of his creation. But at the same time, we also need to remember that Jesus didn't always or fully use his divine power and authority while he was on earth during his earthly life. Jesus emptied himself by becoming a human being, by taking on human flesh. Jesus really was a 12-year-old. He probably at some point had to deal with acne. He experienced the growing up and learning and all of that stuff just like we do. Our reading begins with with verse 40, the child grew and became strong. It ends with Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor. Jesus did grow and develop and learn. And then we come to something that's a little surprising when we look at it. When Mary finally finds Jesus in the temple, she turns to him and, somewhat understandably, I imagine, for any mothers out there, she asks, "Son, why have you treated us so? Behold, your father and I have been searching for you in great distress." She is a little upset here, even though her son is supposed to be perfect. And then Jesus just looks at her, kind of surprised. "Why were you looking for me? Didn't you know I must be in my father's house?" Of course, the temple is where Jesus would be. Where else would you find God than in his father's house? Now, this phrase, "in my father's house," actually has two meanings when you look at it in the Hebrew or in the Greek. It can mean "in my father's house," but it's more "in or with my father's things" or "about my father's business." And so it is important for Jesus to be here in the temple teaching and learning. Teaching is the work that God had given Jesus to do. And learning in and growing in wisdom is what Jesus needs to do. And that's the same for us. For Jesus, his father's house is exactly where he should be. And the same is true for you and for me this year and every year. God's house is the place where we belong, worshiping our Lord together, receiving his gifts in word and in sacrament, studying together with Bible studies, receiving the Lord's Supper in communion with our fellow believers, professing our faith, receiving and being strengthened in us by our baptism. That is the place where we are to be, and that is the place where God promises to meet us. It is important for us to be here, encouraging one another by our faithfulness. If you are struggling in your faith, then congratulations, this is the right place to be, to allow the faith of those around you to encourage you in your faith walk. If you are strong in your faith already and don't think you need the fellowship of other believers to strengthen your faith, then congratulations, this is also the right place for you to be. Give others the opportunity to be encouraged by you and by your faith. It's important for us all to be here together, worshiping and growing together and increasing in our wisdom and knowledge and understanding of who God is and what he does. And then to live together as the family of God. As God's people, we live together, we serve together, not just on Sundays, but throughout the week. We are fed and nourished on Sunday so we can serve together in the ways that God gives us to serve the rest of the days of the week. And so being in God's house, being about God's business, doing what is important to God is exactly what we should be doing as God's people. This includes our time spent at the church building, but it expands far beyond just church. The way that you carry out your week, your work during the week is being about God's business. The way that you raise your children is being about God's business. Every part of your life is being about God's business because you are God's business. Jesus continued to go about his father's business from this time for about another 20 years after his time in the temple. He grew in grace and favor. He was baptized in the Jordan River, taking on himself our sins. He went about through the country proclaiming repentance and forgiveness. He returned to the temple many times to teach and to heal. And eventually he returned to Jerusalem for the last time. Riding into the city on a donkey, he entered the temple and drove out the money changers before sitting down to teach. And then he was arrested. He was tried. He was convicted. He was executed because that was his father's business. Paying the penalty for our sins, for your sins, for my sins. But that was not the end of his father's business. Jesus had said, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up," speaking not of the physical temple, but of his body, the temple. And that is exactly what happened. The temple of his body that had been torn down and thrown in the grave, 3 days later, rose again. And in that temple, and through that temple, through Jesus, we all are gathered together, receiving our Father's gifts, offering him praise, serving him together as his people. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep and guard your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus our Lord, as his people about his business. Amen.